We'll be dismissed for children's Bible time. Just a reminder, teachers, Sunday we are combined in the auditorium, 7th grade on up, for evangelistic services with Evangelist Paul Crow. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of next week. We're in Psalm 9 this evening. Psalm, the 9th Psalm. Twenty verses. And why don't we read this together tonight as a church family? We'll let you remain seated. You know, in the Old Testament, when they read the Old Testament, they stood, and you can certainly do that. But nothing says that you have to stand up and read your Bible. Now, much of my Bible reading is done sitting down in the car, and it's not good to stand up and drive while you're in the car. I'll just say, and much better to sit down. You got heated seats. And anyways, we're just going to read the whole thing, all 20 verses, and be blessed by the reading of the Word of God. Ready? At verse 1, chapter 9. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sittest in thy throne, judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed city. Their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hath not forgotten them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doing. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble, which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Hegeon, Selah. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Selah. A triumphal psalm. And that's the title tonight, the triumphal psalm, Psalm 9. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would help us to be encouraged by the song of the psalmist as he sings in this 9th psalm. And may we be encouraged and have the same confidence that he had in the Lord his God, who is the Lord our God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we'll thank you for the encouragement you give us tonight as we look to you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Psalm 8, of course, was last week, and in the title you see upon Gittith, and we told you that people just guess. Nobody really knows for sure. It's one of those terms that just kind of got lost over the years in history, but probably refers to something of Gath, of the victory over the Philistines, of maybe that opportunity that the psalmist had to praise God for his deliverance. Now in chapter 9, we see the term mulaben, which again is another term that has been lost over time. People just, they guess, but there is no definitive answer. But what people have put together, the organization of the Psalms themselves is not by accident, very purposefully done. And chapter 8 and chapter 9 have been combined, if you will, as a group of two Psalms that are intensely connected together. If you read Psalm 8 and you come into the beginning of Psalm 9, verse 1 and 2, it's almost as the psalmist, as he wrote, the ninth chapter is still pretty keyed up about the victories that God gave in chapter 8. Of course, chapter 8 is bookended with verse 1, which is, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And it ends in verse 9 with, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And then again, verse 1 of chapter 9, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show all thy marvelous works. Psalm 9 talks about victory. And I love the legal term shall. It's not might or may or possibly, but shall. God is going to bring a deliverance. The Lord in verse 8 shall endure. The Lord in verse 9 is a refuge. The Lord in verse 10 has not forsaken us. And the admonishment in verse 11 to sing. Sing praises to God. You should be not just singing during the church service. You should be working on memorizing the lyrics to the songs that we sing in our hymn book. Because when you're driving along the road, those songs can be prayers to the Lord as you're driving along. And certainly, encourage your heart. Songs like Amazing Grace, like the old rugged cross, to be reminded of what Christ did. A victory in Jesus. Psalms are great to memorize. Singing is so important. In Psalm 9, we see Jesus Christ the Conqueror. On his vesture, I could see written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. It reminded me, Psalm 9 reminded me of Revelation chapter 19, verse 16. Revelation 19, verse 16 says, And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he will be victorious. And lots of bad news going on in the world today, isn't there? Been to the gas pumps really recently? Really distress you. I can tell you gas is cheaper in North Carolina, just if you want to drive down there to get your tank filled up. Is it going to come down? I don't know. What's going to go on in the Middle East? I don't know. Who's going to be victorious over the Strait of Hormuz? Yeah, that place. I don't know. But I know who's going to be victorious in the end. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He shall. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. If you're one of those people that stand out in the congregation and never pick up a songbook, never open up your mouth to sing, you really look out of place, I'll just tell you. Pick up your songbook and sing. sing praise to the Lord. David did. And it's just a reminder that someday every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That day is coming. The verse 6 says, the enemy, the destructions are come, not just to an end, but to a perpetual end. And that day is coming. That day is coming. Mrs. Gavin Newsom, I don't know much about her, except she was in the news this week. She is the wife of the governor of California. If you know anything about Mr. Newsom in California, he is not a fundamental Bible-believing Baptist Christian type of guy. But his wife isn't much in the news, but she was in the news this week, and she said this. Fundamental Christianity is the cause of America being held back from its greatness. You want to know why America is such a mess today? She's blaming it on you. Fundamental Christianity is holding America back. Fundamental Christianity is not holding America back from its greatness. Sin is a reproach to any people. And if there's a state that knows something about sin, it would be California. It would absolutely be California. David's focus, his praise, even though things may be bad, is given all to the Lord. Praise offered to God alone. With my whole heart, wholeheartedness, verse 1 says, O Lord, with my whole heart. Just a reminder that half-heartedness, lukewarmness, God said in Revelation, I'll spew you out of my mouth. It is not to be tolerated. Praise the Lord with your whole heart. Praise the Lord with thanksgiving. Why should we be thankful? Man, there's just so much to be thankful for. Put a smile on your face and just walk down the street. If you walk down the street with a smile on your face, people will look at you. Why? Because you're the only one smiling. And they want to know what you're smiling about. If you always have a frown on your face, you look like the world. Well, a preacher, I've got cancer. Well, praise the Lord, you're going to heaven. My van broke down. Well, praise the Lord, you've got feet to walk on. There's always something to praise the Lord about. David had his share of malady and missteps and people that hated him and people that actively were seeking to kill him. Anybody in here hiding from somebody that's trying to kill you? David did, and he found something to praise the Lord about. Certainly, we should. Songs are a fitting expression of inward thankfulness, and we would do well in our day-to-day lives to sing praise to God with more of them. Say, well, I don't know that I want to sing the songs in the hymn book. Well, then start memorizing Psalm 23. Start memorizing Psalm 27. Start memorizing some of the songs and sing them on your day-to-day activities. Thanksgiving ought to be a daily ornament around the neck of the believer. People ought to hear you. They ought to see it. They ought to hear it. They ought to be exposed to the love of God from the joy of your heart. Because we know God loves a cheerful giver. And that's not just giving of your money. God wants you to give of your time and your effort and your praise in a cheerfulness, in a thankful heart. And we should be doing that. So, why don't you tonight make a self-determination that you are going to be a person that just praises the Lord? Why don't you just do that? Why don't you determine, get with Brother Monday and say, Brother Monday, is there a song that I can memorize that would be really great for me to sing out in the community? I'm sure that he might be able to recommend maybe one from our hymn book that might be suitable for you to sing. And sing praises to the Lord. Why? Because low spirits do little work. If you've got a broken spirit, a wounded spirit, who can bear that? And singing will help lift you up. Joyful spirits do double the work. Low spirits do little work. Joyful spirits do double work. Because work becomes no burden. And Brother Taylor, I get a little weary when I hear preachers say, I would love the ministry if it wasn't for the people. It doesn't make any sense to me. The ministry is people. And sheep get messy. Their wool attracts every piece of dirt that is probably within a 3-county radius. And that dirt, what does it do? It weights them down. And that's why God said the church needs a shepherd to watch over them, to help them. But if you're in the same sorrowful spirits that your sheep are in, the preacher's not going to be much help to them. And maybe why our churches are in such a mess. But be joyful. To what? To know, to realize, to acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit. When you trusted Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit came inside of you to live. Now, good luck understanding how the Holy Spirit of God came inside of me to live and came inside of Brother Brown to live and came inside Brother Harris to live on live all at the same time. I don't begin to understand God, but I am impressed by His might, His awesomeness, His power, and that I am His child and that He will help me. So I acknowledge God's presence. In singing, I acknowledge God's power. In singing, I acknowledge God's might. His protection, we see that. What is He going to do? Again, the enemy in verse 6 is going to come to a perpetual end. Verse 7, the Lord is going to endure. Verse number 8, He shall judge the world. But He will also minister judgment to the people in uprightness. Verse 9, the Lord will be a refuge for the oppressed. Are you oppressed tonight? The Lord is your refuge. He is a very present help in time of trouble. And He has not forsaken you. Verse 10, notice verse 10, the last phrase, for Thou, Lord, hath not forsaken them that seek Thee. Maybe the problem is you're not seeking God. That we're not seeking God. It seems like you're alone and God has forsaken you. God has not forsaken you. But maybe you're not seeking Him as you should. And then to remember that when God gives you the victory, to give God the glory. Somebody should write a song. To God be the glory, great things He had done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life in atonement for sin and opened the floodgates that all may come in. Now just imagine if you were walking into Panera tomorrow morning or to Walmart and you were thinking, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. And people look at you. And then if you're like me, after I've sung for a while and I forget that I'm in public and I realize I'm in public, and you get a song on your heart and it's a do-do-do, do-do-do, bum-bum-bum-bum, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And then I start beating on something or the cart, and that's when Mrs. Bishop says, please walk in the next aisle. Please walk in the next aisle. What? Say, preacher, I don't know how to witness. Start singing. Put a smile on your face and start singing, and you will be a witness. Why? Because God is going to be victorious. He shall endure forever. He hath prepared His throne. Verse 5, He has rebuked the wicked. destroyed the wicked and has put out their name forever and ever. Paul, writing about that, said, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? For the Christian, death does not have a sting. There is no victory in death for the believer. Absent from the body, is present with the Lord. But it just seems like the evil men and seducers, as they wax worse and worse, it seems like that they are bigger and mightier and more powerful. They are deranged, is what they are. How can you come up with the atrocities against Bible-believing Christians by the Roman Catholic Church? I mean, how you study the persecutions on Christians, the rack and the pain and the beatings and the skinnings and the beheadings, and you think, how in the world can a person think up such atrocities? But people still do that today. The leader of North Korea, Kim Jong, decided this week that he was going to execute one of his generals, that he had some wind that they were treasonous against him. So what did he do? He had shipped in from Brazil piranhas. He got a big tank with hundreds of piranhas, took knives, and they slashed the arms of the general so he would bleed, and they dropped him in the tank. What kind of barbaric mind would think of such a thing? A satanic, barbaric mind would think of that. But we should stay upon the Lord our God, because those names, while they are mentioned now, will be put out, verse 5, that name forever and ever. And so what the psalmist displays in chapter 9 is a great confidence in God. Do you have confidence in God? I mean, you ought to. You ought to have confidence in the Lord our God. You ought to. David did. And he gives, not just in Psalm 9, but in all the Psalms, a great declaration of his faith. Verse 15 would be another Matthew-Roman verse. Matthew likes it when I give him a shout-out. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. And you see anything about a pit in the Bible, you should just write Matthew-Roman's name out by the side, because he's probably looked up every single one of those. They're in a pit. And he'll probably give me a shout-out when the night is done. He says, hey, thanks for giving me a shout-out. I love the pit. But that's what they've done. Matthew has a confidence that God is going to be victorious. And when he sees that phrase, he is reminded of the victory of God against the heathen. But you and I should be as well. They are sunk. And you are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. That confidence in God, that the enemy and his destructions shall come, again, not just to an end, but to a perpetual end, but God and his name and his throne will endure forever and ever. Verse 10 gives us a confidence in God. Lord, thou hast not forsaken. Verse 11 shows gratitude. Sing praises to the Lord. And so you'll hear me say, live in the dream. And you don't have to use the preacher's phrase, but you should get one of your own that just says, Satan has nothing on me. God is in control. What does that do? It encourages others to have faith and trust in the Lord God. Verse 12 is a good reminder that he's not going to forget you. He remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. So if it seems like God's forsaken you, it could be because you're just not crying out to him. Why don't we cry out to the Lord? Because we think we're going to fix the problem on our own. It is pride that keeps us from crying out, and is humility that puts us on our knees in prayer. Verse 13, have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble which I suffer of them that hate me. It is so important. That verse reminds me that it is so important to study the Old Testament and New Testament scriptures about God's deliverance of those that were in trouble. When the odds seemed extraordinary against the innocent, then God met them in the flame. God met them in the lion's den. God met Joseph in the pit and in the prison. And that same God is the same God that you serve. Those memories of the past will give you confidence in the future. It's called Alpine divorce. I'd never heard of the phrase. Apparently, it's been around for hundreds of years. Alpine divorce is a guy dating a girl, or a guy is married to a girl, and he takes her up in the Alps, takes her on some really difficult trail, takes her on some mountain climb, and when he gets to the top, he abandons her. He gets her in a difficult spot, he walks away. It's almost like he's taking her to the top to push her off, but that would go bad. There is one climber who has done that now for the third time. It just so happened that he was doing a climb and the girl couldn't keep up with them, and he left her to freeze to death in the sub-zero temperatures. And when they finally got the rescuers in there and rescued her body, she was already dead. And then they did a little bit of research and they found out this is the third girl he's done it to. I just say, girls, be careful who you date. There are some wacko guys out there. They just are. Alpine divorce. Men will fail you. I'm thankful that I serve a God that will never leave me nor forsake me. He's right there. A very present help in time of trouble. Verse 17 and 18 is a closing prayer. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know. Because David's going to give the honor and glory and praise to God themselves, that they are just to be but men. They are just men, men. This closing prayer is a reminder to believers. It is also a solemn warning. While it is a blessed promise to the believer, it is a solemn warning to those that are enemies of the cross of Christ. And it's just sad that in Christianity today, many folks are moral but not devout. Many folks are honest, but they are not prayerful. Many Christians are benevolent, but not believing. You may be in pain tonight, but you should remember that you have not been forsaken by your God, and you have not been forgotten. We should be reminded to put on the weapons and the armament because we are in a battle. But when the battle is hot, when the battle is hard, when you sense that all is lost, you have a great God, a great leader. I say a great ally, but he's more than an ally. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Would you bow your heads? O our precious Lord and Savior, we pray that we would not grow so weary, so tired, that we would forget that you are the great God of our salvation and the hope of our future. Father, may we never grow so vain that we forget that we are mere men. and that we need the might and power of Almighty God. May we ever be on our knees seeking your power and your presence. And may we ever be giving you the praise and honor and glory for what you have done. Giving you that praise, honor, and glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.